Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Golden Hawk, and I am so delighted to do this show. I have been in Wisconsin now 6 days, and God bless. I come to Wisconsin to do some clearing, and first and foremost, I come to Wisconsin for the energy, and I come to Wisconsin for the people. And it's clear to me from an alchemical point of view. Very intense energy with very intense people equal very intense experiences. So right now, I have two beautiful guests who are both running late. So I'm going to basically chat with you until they get here. But there really is a lot to share with until they get here. Yesterday, happy solstice, happy post-solstice, everyone. Yesterday was the first day of summer to, the third dimensional being, and to the multidimensional being, it was basically it was an activation, it was a trigger, it was a release. There is so much depth that goes into the energies everywhere on the planet. But I'll be honest with you, Wisconsin is like the best-kept secret when it comes to pyramids. I mean, I basically was on a pyramid yesterday with a dear friend of mine, Joe, and the way the day unfolded was that there was a Mayan teacher coming to do a fire ceremony at Aztalan, which is basically these mounds that are covered pyramids. At night, and it was my intention to do this ceremony with this Mayan elder. Well, at about 11 o'clock in the morning yesterday, we went online to kind of figure out how much it costs and all the details of it. Come to find out, you had to pre-buy your ticket online. None of us knew that, and by the time we had that figured out, tickets were sold out and the ceremony was closed. So as me and my beautiful sister Dawn and we did on the show last Thursday, everything is about acceptance. You know, it's like if one door closes, look for the open window, or, have patience, have faith. There's a reason why everything happens. I'm such a true believer of that. So, I still had my beautiful friend Joe with me, and I was like, well, if this ceremony is going on at 7 o'clock tonight, it was 11:30 in the morning that we figured this out. I went, well, let's go do our own ceremony. And we grabbed a couple of drums, and we grabbed what's the green water? What do you put in the green water? We grabbed our chlorophyll bottled water, threw on our bathing suits, because I also knew that I wanted to go to Rock Lake, which is a lake with a pyramid in it. I mean, I'm telling you guys, when I grew up and, in all these years, prior to meeting Dawn Leader, which is really the person that got my attention to Wisconsin, Wisconsin, was really just to me, I guess like Nebraska, just a bunch of cornfields. I mean, I didn't know for nothing, to be honest, anything quote-unquote spiritual. It was always go out west to, Colorado and Sedona and New Mexico and even California. But as I'm on this journey, and to be honest, as all of us are on this journey, I am becoming aware to, as well as simultaneously, these places I believe are awakening to more intensity, that these places are showing up. So we went and sat on the Venus Mound, which is the Divine Feminine Mound, which is a mound, which is basically grass-covered pyramids. And, you know, we had our drums, and we're both energy workers, so Joe was doing some energy work on me, and we were drumming. And all of a sudden, you know, my eyes were shut, and Joe was doing work on me, and I opened my eyes, and there is an angel in white kneeling in front of us. And I opened my eyes, and a beautiful woman in this white chiffon dress was kneeling there. You know, and I went, I know you. And then she proceeded to say, hi, Joe. And I went, and you know us. And it was the woman who, when I had been here last time in March or in April, we did some ceremonies with Dawn at Rock Lake and Aztalan. And then we went to a crystal shop, and to make a long story short, Dawn and Vi had left the crystal shop. I wasn't done paying for my crystals. So this really cool girl named Carrie, what's Carrie's last name?
Schultz.
Carrie Schultz said, I'll drive you back to Dawn's. And, you know, we made a connection that day. It was brief, but it was clearly a connection. And so when I saw, you know, when I realized that it was Carrie standing in front of us or kneeling in front of us, she told us that she had basically six other people with her, and that for the last 5 days, they had been doing intense ceremonies all around Wisconsin in these, you know, highly activated areas, and that they were basically all preparing in a Winnebago, or UV, no, what is that? SUV, RV, and that they were going to do a ceremony by the lake, or by the river. There's a river that runs next to Aztalan. So, you know, me and Joe kind of looked at each other and went, wow, that's really cool. You know, I knew I wanted to be on the mound. And, you know, I also get that, you know, based on the ceremony from this Mayan elder, you don't invite yourself to ceremonies. You can be invited, but it's not, I didn't feel it was appropriate, you know, to say, can we join you? But to be honest, my heart was, I wanted to sit on the mound. I mean, I was like, I can certainly connect with them as a group energetically. Which she was like, okay, cool, you know, we'll connect with you, you connect with us. And I was like, awesome. So, you know, she left the mound and was walking back to the parking lot, which is, you know, a good, you know, tenth of a mile, you know, back. And me and Joe continued drumming and playing and, you know, just chilling. And then all of a sudden, Joe goes, oh, the whole group is coming back. And I sat up, and it was like they had decided to do the ceremony with us on the mound. Now, you know, I am a firm believer that life will come to you. I am not one to do ceremonies. I tend to do most of my spiritual work actually alone or impromptu. You know, I'm just about connecting with the energies and experiencing it through my physical being, mostly through the paradigms of relationships, sacred relationships with self, with God, with others. That has been, you know, my experience. And because that's mostly my experiences, I enjoy ceremony when it comes up. Because I don't do ceremony, you know, some people are doing ceremonies weekly. That's not me. Even though I have invited ceremony in with my mastermind group. But that's, again, you know, we're on the telephone. That's not, you know, like Carrie set up this amazing altar. It was, like, unbelievable. There were crystals and feathers and shells. You know, she had all the elements covered. There were indigo people, and there were, you know, I could sense just the ceremony itself was a very intense experience. And I was stoked because I didn't get it from the Mayan elder, but I don't care where I get it. I sat on the mound, and the ceremony came to me. And in all honesty, I really want to emphasize to people that trust that when you set an intention, if it doesn't come in the, you know, the package you think it's going to come, trust that it's either A, for a reason, or trust that, you know, don't give up. The ceremony or whatever it is you're intending will indeed come from a completely unknown source to you. I mean, I knew Carrie, but it wasn't like I called Carrie and said, hey, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to join your ceremony. So, you know, this is the magic that is available to all of us right now. And I've been having a really challenging week, which I don't want to get too deep into because I'm actually going to do a pre-tape, and it's going to be the show that we're going to play tomorrow night on my Thursday night show called Triggers and Triumphs. The energy is clearly intensifying in that it's bringing up, if there's something I'm afraid of, or this goes for everybody, if there's something we're afraid of, that fear is going to be manifested in order for us to walk through it and transmute it. Because if you don't feel it, you can't heal it. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because a lot of times my fear is in the denial or the subconscious. So I'm not even aware that I'm afraid of it until I've been triggered, and there it is staring me in my face going, you know, snee to snee to snee, look at me. And it's like, it's an interesting experience when you travel. Like for me, a lot of my fears at this point come up when I come to Wisconsin, which is interesting because I'm not in my home space. I'm traveling. You want to be a cordial guest when you're traveling, and people are generous to let you stay with them. And when the fear is coming up, you know, it can rear an ugly head. And, you know, I'm very grateful to the people that I have around me, basically Dawn and Jeff and Joe, who from my inner circle of Wisconians, really, and Cindy and Jim as well, for really supporting me in allowing me to get ugly, you know, recognizing it's for the good of the whole, and also, you know, understanding it. I also am triggering them on, you know, sometimes. So it's a unique dance that if there was somebody unconscious in the group could easily collapse and fall apart and turn into, you know, World War III, and yet it doesn't. And that is that's powerful, because I can imagine what it's like in all those unconscious households, because this is happening to us globally. By the way, here's some updates. Yesterday, summer solstice, there was a solar flare, an M-class solar flare that is directed. It was shot directly at our planet. They said it's not very powerful, but the fact that it's going to be a direct hit, that will affect us tomorrow. The electromagnetics will be affected. So cell phones and cordless things, computers, as well as emotions, physical experiences, if you're on your monthly, your body is going to feel the effects of this direct solar hit. I always say I'd rather be prepared than unprepared, so it's not that we can do anything about it, but in our preparation, we can respond from a space of, you know, if you can nurture yourself tomorrow, I highly recommend, you know, getting the body work done or sitting in either a natural spring or a sauna, a whirlpool, just things that really take care of you. Because there could be a lot of chaos based on the solar flare coming towards the planet, as well as, see, now, isn't this funny? Okay, so we've got, you know, there was a full moon eclipse on the 15th. 6 days later, we've got the summer solstice, which is always, the solstices and the equinoxes are energetically very powerful in what they bring up in our experiences, and how they're powerful as long as we ride with these experiences, in that they can expand us, but they can also knock us down and stick our face in the mud and spit on us if we're in resistance. And so with everything else going on, I'm sure, you know, it doesn't matter who we are, we're all feeling this experience right now. So the solar flare is kind of just, you know, let's add a little salt to the mix. God bless, you know, the cosmos and the planet are all in alignment right now. It's all in divine order. And so, there's a lot going on that we should be aware of. And like I said, if we can be aware of it, the key is to nurture yourself, because the energy is intense. So, Okay, that's my update. My beautiful guest has just arrived, and we have two guests today. So what I wanted to do in this show is highlight amazing women of Wisconsin, because I've met amazing men as well, and I'm not trying to segregate, but I'm really all about empowering women, self-empowered women, having them share their stories, having them share their experiences, because there's two windows that we can look out in this experience. One window is the collapse of the old, and the other window is the birthing of the new. Both women that I have on the show today are the birthing of the new. So let's welcome my beautiful guest, Diane McKee. Welcome.
Hi, pleasure to be here with you, Goldie.
Yeah, me too. You know, and I almost started the show at 12:30. I thought about it.
You know, I learned a big lesson today.
Okay.
My inner guidance or intuition had said 12:30 when we made this.
Oh, okay.
And I understand fully why, because if anybody from Milwaukee area is listening, coming out from Milwaukee downtown, out through Waukesha, it's like stop and go.
Right.
Extreme construction delays.
You know, and I apologize for not listening to, I heard it too, when I was, because I made the episode today and I literally paused for like 2 minutes. But I didn't know what everybody else had going on later on. I said 12, and I don't, what if they have to end early? You know, I didn't know, but I didn't trust, and that's my bad.
Well,
so.
and it was my lesson of speaking my truth of my own inner guidance as well.
So. Right, and listen, we're going to do more of these. So we learn,
mm-hmm.
and we grow. Exactly. But you're here now. I'm so glad you're here. So now, you are a woman who wears many hats.
Or, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yes. Now, I mean, I want to talk about what you want to talk about. I mean, we can do many shows. I definitely want to talk about your toe reading. Because you have no idea. Diane took me into her arms with toes and just opened my world up. But, I mean, there's some, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the most empowering thing that I want to talk about today. It was my personal experience. And I'm open to that, but I mean, you've risen to corporation. You know, there's a lot about you, the wisdom you have with the teaching and then the schools, the book that I'm going to encourage you by speaking it online. I mean, on the air to public. You know what I'm saying? So, share with me. I trust. Where do you want to go with this? Because where empowerment is the intention.
I have learned so very, very much through the many, many experiences that I've had in life. And the last 3 years have been absolutely phenomenal. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster with the ups and the downs and around the corners. And it's like instead of having fear now, I find excitement
right on.
In the next corner.
Right on.
I no longer have that fear of the unknown like I used to.
Well, but, okay, so let's start with, since they don't know you yet, and I'm always about, because, and I love that we were stating that, but like we used to means, were we born fearless, or did we choose fearless, right? So, and we'll get into the tools that we use, because that's another, it's just important with the intensity of everything right now. Fear is, you know, it's literally the two choices, fear or love.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
But you can't just choose it mentally.
Right.
The choice has to become a cellular experience. If I'm not feeling fearless, then who cares what my mind is saying? It's a fearless thing, but I'm tight in my breath and, you know, I'm tight in my belly.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm in fear. So let's go to, and I love it because this is from a business. You have jumped off a few cliffs in business. Well, and I'm a cliff jumper. So can you start with, all right, 3 years ago, like how you got to 3 years ago and then the transformation from that?
I've done numerous things in life. I've started as a child being raised on a dairy farm.
Okay.
And we basically lived off of the farm. We had approximately 60 to 70 cows that we milked daily, twice a day. So had lots of responsibility in helping with the family and raising cattle, and we had every animal you can imagine, so it was wondrous. And
nice.
Spent a lot of time out in nature. We lived next to a riverbed.
Okay.
And spent time driving tractor and just being outside was my favorite thing.
Okay.
Climbing trees.
Yeah.
Playing outside. So a very simple life in a country type setting. And then I got married very, very young at 18, and my husband was in the military. So I was swept away, living far away from home in a different state, out in South Dakota. And I was registered to go to Viterbo to be a registered nurse, actually, because I had been a candy striper in high school.
Okay.
But changed of direction at that point and actually went for my teaching degree instead.
Okay.
And got a double degree with physical education and elementary education.
Okay.
And then back, I don't know if many remember, back in the early 80s, there was kind of like a lock on hiring teachers. There weren't any jobs available.
Okay.
Had my first child back in 81. Finished college in 2.5 years.
Nice.
Going to school night and day, summer, and got done very quickly because we were about to move then after that point, and I wanted to get it all done at once. So
right, right. That's why the military, I'm assuming you're moving from the military with your husband, right?
Right, okay. Right. Well, at that point, we ended up having a child who had a heart disease, transposition of the great vessels. And at that point, then we decided to get out of the military. His term was up out there. The child almost died at a very early age and had to have surgery right off the bat, which was very difficult for us to be put through all that.
Anyway, that's clearly a fearful experience.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And everything went well. We came out of the military. My husband started school, and obviously with a child who had some issues physically, I wasn't able to work a lot, but did work a part-time job or two, working in the emergency room.
At that time?
No, I don't think I was quite then.
But only because I was like, wow, you almost have an emergency with your daughter or son.
Not at that point.
It was your daughter or son.
At that point, it was my son.
Okay, right.
So it was our firstborn son.
Okay.
And actually, at a year old, they decided to do a major surgery to correct the problem that was within his heart.
Okay.
And he made it through the surgery just fine, and then he ended up passing after the surgery when he was in recovery.
Oh, wow. So, Diane, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was very, very difficult for both of us.
Wow.
I think one of the toughest things in life is
losing a child.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So went through some help-type things, grieving counseling, that type of thing, which was really, really beneficial, and I would highly recommend
it. Highly recommend it. I grieved with my mother at 35. I was still whacked out of it.
Yeah.
So death is a very challenging thing. Yes, yes.
Extremely helpful.
Right on.
So did some healing around that. Again, the teaching arena wasn't real open at that time.
Okay.
And actually, I had children like every 2 years. I was pregnant every 2 years. Then became pregnant with my daughter, my oldest daughter. We had lived up by my mom and dad, trying to make ends meet.
Right.
And then moved to Eau Claire. No, actually, we moved to the cities with my older daughter because my husband got a job at Coca-Cola out there.
Okay. Have a Coke and a smile.
So a lot of transition. So
right.
We lived there for a while. I was working at a preschool, taking the bus downtown every day, pregnant. And
wow.
So then I worked there, and actually the preschool ended up closing, so I was without a job.
Okay.
Ended up having my daughter in Minneapolis. And then shortly after that, we moved back to Wisconsin, bought a trailer home and lived in Eau Claire. My husband went to some school, and that's when I started working at the ER part-time and worked at a doctor's office as well.
Okay.
So had some medical background, got my nursing assistant degree, and also acted as a ward clerk in this emergency room.
Right.
So worked a lot of hours.
A lot of high energy, too. I mean, this is not a...
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah,
you know,
lots
it's not,
of stress in the emergency room.
Right.
Somebody hand me their fingers as after they had cut them off with a wood saw. So it was like,
wow. Wow.
You saw everything come
I just
together.
Had a visual from that movie last night. Okay. Right. Okay. Wow.
Teenage suicides, that type of thing, were very difficult to handle because you were working with the parents. And,
right.
And
it must trigger a little bit from your own experiences.
Yeah, my own experiences and all the emergencies that came through. So that in and of itself was challenging for me. Ended up having getting pregnant in 2 years and having a miscarriage in between there after 3 or 4 months. And then 2 years after that, I had my other daughter. We were in Eau Claire and still working in the medical type field. And then my husband got a job in Chicago in Palos Hills. So we moved down to Palos Hills. We absolutely hated the big city life, being he was also from the rural area.
Okay.
We met as teenage lovers, so.
Right.
So neither of us liked the big city of Chicago. So we stayed there only about a year and then moved to Rockford. There's like a string of moves here.
Right. Well, but, I mean, there's something to be said. I mean, because I know change is one of the biggest fears that people go through.
Yeah,
so.
We were very unsettled. After my son had
well,
passed,
but
it was
it
like
sounds
a job to
I
job.
Get it, but there's a divinity in what you're going.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel it building, because I want to make sure we have enough time that we can talk about how this is, you know, there's a purpose that I am having you share this because so much, there's a lot of change going on now. Now, you're prepared for change, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I had tons of change.
Right. And so it doesn't. You understand that it doesn't have to be scary. It can be, it's the unknown. I mean,
right.
I think that is the two biggest fears, death and the unknown, and it's almost the same fear because it's an unknown thing that we're afraid of with death. So, you know, sorry, everybody. My other guest just arrived, and the dog. Where's my director?
The dogs are happy.
Yeah, so, you know, listen, this is a remote. We're doing a live remote. This is what happens in a live remote. If we have to, just let the dog out. Okay, so I want you to keep talking, but do more into the less specifics, but more about the changes, because I think they're important.
Okay. So from Rockford, moved to Milwaukee, received a job, a part-time job at a large corporation, and actually I stayed in that corporation for almost 20 years then.
Right.
And I just told my husband enough. We didn't want
to everyone has to get a little, you know, everybody wants a little stability. Yeah. And I honor that because you are, you know, you were, and you got 20 years. That was, I mean, were you in the same?
We were basically in the same home. We moved two times really quickly. Within that time as we started, but then after that it was like, no, we bought a house, we settled, and we stayed there. So
right.
Now we've been there for 20 plus years.
Okay, so. Right. So life does, because it also, when you do the work, there's a balance.
Right.
It balanced. So, okay.
And then I moved myself in the company from like a part-time, nighttime position into a full-time day position, into a sales position, and then stayed there for 8 years, and then went into a management position for 10 years, and then moved into a senior management position.
So you climbed the ladder.
So I climbed the ladder within a corporation, got to see all ends of it, basically.
Right, and let me ask you a question. I mean, and this is a little, it's personal, but you know Goldie, from a female point of view, was there any prejudice about you climbing a ladder as a female?
I was one of just a couple females in the senior management ranks.
Right.
Because that isn't seen very often.
Right. It's such a masculine energy in general. I think corporate is such a masculine, and that is partially what's collapsing, is that it must have the feminine energy as well. And I'm not saying, even the females became masculine. You know, just because we have the body parts doesn't mean we're exuding the divine feminine. And I understand we had to do it to get where we wanted to be. We wanted successes as well. But the frequencies on the planet are really commanding. It's beyond demanding. It's commanding the balance. That's what I was seeing on Astaland last night. So, you know, I honor because, you know, I have a set of balls. You know, to put it lightly, and not a physical set, but an etheric set that I, as soon as I had my awakening, I literally knew that whatever was going on, I always looked for the, like I sat on Venus at Aztalan because it's the divine feminine. I have so much masculine running in me. I was just as out of balance as the men being out of balance with the masculine. So this is not a blame game or a let's hate our men program. Mm-hmm. This is about let's honor and acknowledge the nurturing, the intuition, right? We both had the hit today. The show should have started at 12:30.
Absolutely.
And I mean, something we could, you know, we could have acted however we acted, but it, for me, I'm like, ah, I didn't, and I can't, you know, as soon as I hit the button, I went, I don't think that's right. I didn't think it was right. I have to learn to act on it. And that's
right.
Honoring the divine feminine. Right. Act on it. Don't just think it. Let it become. Trust the changes that the divine feminine wants to bring in.
Right. Absolutely. Following the intuition and speaking the truths as they occur.
And living by it. Because I was nervous about, and that's the divine, you know, the masculine, don't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the good old days. Keep it exactly the way. And it was like, I knew. My voice was telling. And so, but I think it's important. All of us are awakening our feminine. It is awakening within us. And it's not about beating ourselves up when we don't. It's about every time we notice, if you don't listen to it, where it would have been the right. I honor that and acknowledge it. So the next time, you might be willing to just jump off and go, you know what, I'm going to follow it. And then, you know what I'm saying? This is how children learn. You know, we tell them, and then they start. Oh, you know, it's like riding a bike. First we hold the seat, and we run with them, and we run with them, and then inevitably we let go when we let go of the training wheels, and we ride ourselves. So,
right.
Indeed. So now you're at the corporate top. You are a female, and you're doing it. You know, you've got the house, you've got the stability, you've got, quote-unquote, everything I would imagine the first part of your life you've wanted.
Right. And so many people, that's what they want, is climb to the top.
Exactly.
But then once you get there, what else?
Well, is that how, because, right, there is really no destination in all
right.
this, is there? We
right.
think there is because they don't tell
it.
We believe that. Because I remember when I graduated college, I was literally like, you know, I mean, I have my associate's degree. I got a 2-year degree. I mean, and everybody's like, okay, you're going to go on? And I was like, no. no, this left brain stuff, and I just felt I could intuitively feel it was a program that it was early childhood. It allowed me to be a nanny and make bank. You know, I was not just off the boat looking for a job. I had a degree, but I didn't. That was not my because I'm finding gangs, religions. These are groups that are acknowledging people. I have never found yet the group. Even light workers at this point from Connecticut, where, you know, I'm going to probably piss a lot of people off. they're all about the business aspect of light working, where I'm about the sacred relationship with self.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really, once we have that sacred relationship with self, it will be experienced in our business world. It'll be experienced in our parenting. It'll be experienced in our intimate relationships, in our divine time alone. You know, that's the core to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're at the top, and your voice, your inner voice, starts going, okay, we don't want it. This is not, you know, okay, we got here. We had to prove we could get here. Or I don't know what your motivation was.
Well, and I learned some things. When you do get to the top, there's more responsibility.
Okay.
But in saying that, basically I was trading my life.
Oh.
And giving that
to work.
Right. It was great money.
Right.
But you're also giving over your life.
That's very true.
So I discovered that
and
thought, you know what? And with that corporation, everybody stays there till they're 55 because then they get all these wonderful benefits.
Right.
No matter if your body's torn apart
I had
over 100 employees under me. And several had died of cancer.
Wow.
And probably the wake-up call for me was when a very well-respected manager, all he wanted to do was retire at 55 and begin living his life.
Right.
And that really hit me beginning to live his life at 55.
Right.
And then what happened is less than a year later, he bought a sailboat, moved to Florida, did everything he wanted to do, but less than a year later, he died of a really freak type thing. And it's like, why am I waiting to live my life?
What are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for? And at the time, I was, I think...
That's a paradigm. That's a program.
I'm 55 yet, and I'm going, you know what? Why am I waiting?
Right.
Because that may happen to me.
It can happen to any...
really hit me in the face.
Right. Well, and, you know, my mom died at 63, which I consider very young.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to talk about retirement. And, you know, it's such an old paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the paradigm... I mean, this is for another show, but it's the paradigm of a set of rules that doesn't... You're a slave.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the key to this radio show is that you can wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can wake up at 20 and never enter the system.
Mm-hmm.
And not you might not get the million-dollar home. So it doesn't mean you won't get a home.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not going to... You're not going to literally give your life away for the material gains that America says is what is, quote-unquote, the success. Success, especially as the Divine Feminine wakes up, the Divine Feminine really doesn't give us a rat's butt about the riches of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She cares about how connected are you with your children and your family? How connected are you with the planet? Are you in peace? Are you in joy? Are you playing?
Mm-hmm.
Playing, I'm finding, is a major concept with the Divine Feminine. She wants us all, inner children, up front and center, making our choices for us. The child making our decisions for us.
And so many stuff that child within, inside of themselves and basically squash it.
Oh, because the warrior stands with the sword, you know, going, we're going to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Get back there, kid.
Right.
I'm doing this for you.
Exactly.
And, you know, the kid is going, I'm starving, though.
Right.
I'm starving. Or inner
child
crying and going, I don't care if the floor is marble or granite.
Right.
I could live in wood, you know, just humble. The child is humble. I've never seen a child feel poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in all sorts of financial experiences.
Right.
Children don't feel poor.
Right.
Adults do, not children.
Absolutely.
You know, give them a box and they're happy. And it's so funny, even the wealthy kids, they get all these toys, they play with the box too.
Right, absolutely.
You know, you don't have to buy a drum set, give them pots and pans, you know.
Absolutely.
So, indeed. So, and I believe that's really the wake-up is when we finally let the warrior, because there's like four archetypes, the warrior, the child, the sage, grandparents, I don't know, it'll hit me, there's four, though. And there's different, you know, Carolyn Mays has her archetypes.
Absolutely.
But I know... For me, it was my warrior was always, you know, and then the children taught me so much, so.
Absolutely. So I basically had not taught other than subbing in between there as, you know.
Right, because you keep mentioning teacher.
Yeah.
Teaching was, you know, I'm getting the feeling with the inner child one you did do.
Right.
Okay.
And I did some teaching at a corporate level all the time.
Right, okay.
Which is a little bit different.
Right.
But not with children. I had squashed the whole child thing down other than... raising my own children, and my husband was very active in the military, still traveling all over the world.
Okay.
So I was basically raising my children as a single mom.
Right.
Much of the time, which working full time and giving your life to a corporation, plus trying to raise children,
and
they were very active in extracurricular activities as well.
Okay.
People always ask me, "How did you do it?" But when it's put in front of you, you just make it happen.
Absolutely. I mean, because when people say we're not having children because we can't afford them, you know,
there'll never be a time.
You know, either you're going to have them or, you know, or and it's certainly okay not to have children, but that's a cop-out in my, you know, choose what you want from a space of empowerment, not a space of fear. I mean, this is what I'm choices can be made in fear, choices can be made in love and trust.
Absolutely. And all of my children have been an absolute blessing.
Yeah, well, you got amazing kids and grandkids. I mean, I know Lily, I don't, if you have others, I don't know them, but
yeah. There's so much joy in my life.
And, yeah.
And again, with the corporation, I was literally doing my BlackBerry on the computer, on my phone all the time.
24/7, even when you were at home. Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't fair to them either.
Yeah.
So not that I discourage working at corporations, but not giving your life to it.
Right. I think a lot of corporations command that, though, mm-hmm. to be honest. I mean,
well, with my position as a senior manager, they collapsed three senior manager positions and made one.
Into your responsibility.
So I had five states versus one.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that says a lot about you that you can handle it, but wow, that's...
But you give up a lot, too, in doing that. And the
absolutely.
Pay is wondrous.
Right.
If the money's that important to you.
Right.
But I was finding money became not as important as my own well-being
right.
in life. I didn't want to give up my health like many had in that corporation.
Right.
Or my life.
Well, I mean, and they literally died.
They literally died.
Either right after or right. within. Yeah, I mean, that's... It's a deep subject, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a deep subject. Okay, so you got to the top, you have the wake-up call that say, I want my life back,
mm-hmm.
the alarm goes off,
mm-hmm.
what do you do?
Well, and something happened in fall of 2007. I'm not sure what, but energetically something happened.
Okay.
And many people were starting to wake up at that point, and I was one of those where I had a calling to do something. I didn't know what. But to do something else.
Okay.
And again, being with a corporation for that long, that's really a difficult decision. I did literally jump ship not knowing what I was going to do next.
Yeah.
I knew that this was not the place for me anymore.
Right.
And from that, it took me a while just to, like, separate from the life I had lived.
Yeah.
And to clear myself. And what
these are brilliant steps, though. In other words, you're not going in with the frustration, you know, chasing something. First,
no.
you're finding stillness and
right.
saying, I got to let go of
everything
that I picked up along
right.
the way. That's brilliant.
Right.
That's brilliant.
And amazingly, I couldn't find a job as a man. I was way overqualified for just a manager position. But it was a blessing in disguise because I ended up getting a job in nature
oh, nice.
For this millionaire taking care of their gardens, which they had these gardens made of, like, French gardens
okay.
with all this marble and statues
right.
and fountains, and they had roses all around everything.
Nice.
And it was a matter of just taking care of the flowers.
Oh, nice.
And their property was over 100 acres, and it was just like a wild preserve. Every time you drove in, you saw the deer crossing the road
oh,
and
nice.
And the huge cranes that were in their yard and the birds, and it was just like a nature preserve, and it just was amazing to me in working in nature what happens.
Right.
Because
well, share with that, because you know I'm a nature fanatic. And I mean, to get paid would, you know,
it was a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And they could have selected anybody else that had experience in that area. And fortunately for myself, I was chosen
right.
to mend their gardens and their property.
Well, you had to be open to it, though. You know,
oh,
meaning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was pretty amazing tuning into the animals, the birds. The trees.
Right on.
It was amazing. Just feeling the wind and allowing the
wind.
I mean,
like every day you went to work, was the gratitude just like beyond flow, you know, like.
Well, and I think for me it was a release of all that old stuff.
Yeah.
And allowing Mother Earth to help me heal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
release all that stuff.
Yeah. The corporate cubicle
stuff. That no longer served me
yeah.
where I was.
Yeah.
So I
yeah.
really needed a time to just release all of that, or begin to release, because it's a
okay.
long process.
Right, right.
And just allow myself to be.
Mm.
I can't express enough how important that is, just to be.
Mm. God, I'm getting crown. Right now my crown is getting pressure, and it's, you know, like confirmation. Yes, yes.
And just doing something mindless. And I was working, but again, doing something where you didn't have to think about numbers and percentages and
right. Well, I would call it right brain, not
right.
mind, because
right
you still have to. I mean,
right.
I would imagine
right.
the rich still want their gardens looking
oh,
good. You
yeah,
know,
well, absolutely. And one of my passions is flowers and
right.
gardening.
So it was now so, shifting from numbers to passion,
passion.
Which is
and
also the heart or right brain, however you
did.
Right.
Absolutely.
And the left brain plays a part because the left brain,
mm-hmm.
this isn't
mm-hmm.
about annihilating the left brain. It,
no,
the left brain still,
no.
you want to organize the flowers
absolutely.
Correctly or beautifully, not correctly,
right.
but.
And making a plan of how I was going to plant them so I had, you know,
symmetry.
Flowers for every season.
Yeah.
Wisconsin.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
And so
yeah.
there's always full
something,
bloom.
Right.
Regardless of the season.
Right.
So definitely patterning the flowers to look beautiful.
Right. There's an intelligence.
Absolutely.
In, but it's a different use of the intelligence mm-hmm. of the numbers and the percentages.
But following my passions, which I hadn't done for a
right.
very long time.
Right on.
Since I was a child.
Wow.
And beginning to let that inner child then
come
bubble
out.
Up.
Yeah.
And finding some joy.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't had for a while.
I mean, that alone must have healed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was very, very healing. And then I was, it was just like I was guided in different directions. I happened to be at my conferences for my son, who has been in middle school. And I was sitting down with a math teacher who is absolutely brilliant and thinks out of the box. And she's got this program that she runs for the students in math and financial planning.
Okay.
And she does it much differently than any other teacher, well, than I've seen.
Okay.
Where she makes it experience-oriented.
Awesome.
Where the children are experiencing it.
You mean like math for how to have money, how to budget your money?
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know why this is not a mandatory class. Classes.
Right.
Because what do we need more than anything? I mean, my brother, God bless him, he's 48 years old and he's still coming home asking my father to help him write checks.
Well, and that's what it helps these children learn how to budget their money, we actually, like, interviewed them
okay.
so that they actually got a job and
oh,
they got
wow.
paid from the job. They went to the technical colleges and the colleges and they talked to them about what kind of choices to make for schooling.
Well,
they got to actually drive a car with the salesperson and pick out their own car
oh,
that
wow.
they had to pay for out of their
oh,
wages.
Oh, and this is all, and this is in middle school.
Experiential, yeah. Everything
wow.
they did was experiential.
They must have loved it, too. The
oh,
kids
loved it.
Of course.
In fact, now the kids are done with college coming back to this teacher going, can I have that information to teach the children?
Wow.
So
oh,
that's
I'm
why
getting
we put
huge, too.
That's why we put it into a book called Project Reality.
Okay, so is this the book that
this
is close
book
to being
published?
Okay.
Well, I've written it.
Right.
And it's
close to being published is what I was going to say.
Getting it out and getting
yes.
it published.
Yes. Everybody intend for Diane to publish it. The world needs this book.
So we definitely need to get that book out.
Yeah.
Because even the colleges now are asking because it's such a need, especially in the financial world, in the math world, because students and typically don't like math.
Right.
And this is a way of loving what you're doing with math and learning those things before you become an adult.
Yeah.
And, like, we even help the children begin to build a resume.
Oh, wow.
And when they're, like, 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
So they're starting on that and thinking about that. So when they get to high school.
It's not overwhelming.
Set.
Yeah, yeah.
They
it's a pattern they already,
yeah,
they already embodied.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
It's definitely something that would be much more helpful in the educational realm, allowing children to experience through education versus listening to lecture.
All the time for
right.
12 years. And then going into college and doing it some
the
more.
Same thing over and over.
You know, because one of the things that kept me in college is early childhood is very experiential.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the early childhood classes, I had, like, how to teach numbers or children, little guys, through science, which is baking and or, you know, taking them outside with, you know, magnifying glasses. But so as they taught me how to do this, we were doing this
mm-hmm.
because, you know, when you go to college, you get 60 credits of your desired major, and then 60 credits of the total bullshit that they make you get because you're in college. And that's what, if I could just keep taking early childhood classes, I would have potentially gotten my PhD. But it was like all the other English, I don't need English. That's not my passion. I don't. This is just annoying me. I'm writing papers upon papers, you know, and that's not my strong suit. My strong suit is creativity with the kids, and that's what my classes did. And you can get a certificate that way, but they won't give you the degree. And you know, I'm rebellious.
But the children are fighting this now. I see it in the school.
The indigos.
Indigos are fighting this.
Yeah.
And if there's like, they a lot of these kids can do math in the head.
Absolutely.
They don't need.
They can do computers without being taught.
My granddaughter can work a computer better than I can.
Absolutely. It's literally like they're hardwired for it.
It's amazing.
I agree. I mean, people say to me all the time, if you don't know what you're doing with your phone, find a 9-year-old. They'll know how to find an app or download a thing.
Absolutely. She knows how to run the TV and all the different electronics that go with it.
Yes.
It's like, this is a 4-year-old.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So they are wired for it.
Yeah.
And so their frustration is, why do I have to do this?
See, that was... Exactly. They don't care about the, unless they care about it. You know, there are authors out there.
They care about.
They'll
want to
do. Absolutely. But we squeeze them into this program and protocol that you have to learn all this.
Mm-hmm.
And we totally push out in a way the passion, the imagination, the creativity, the stuff that nurtures their soul.
And not that it's not important for some of that stuff.
Some.
And to do it with fun, though.
Yeah.
Not to push it on top.
Hey, you want to teach
it.
Kids about a tree? Take them to a forest. Don't open a book and say, this is an oak.
Right.
I mean, let them, because...
That experimental.
Yeah.
Feeling things instead of just hearing it all the time.
Well, exactly. Or just seeing it. This is a flat screen thing. They are not flat screens.
Mm-hmm.
They are multidimensional beings. That want to smell the tree, that want to touch the tree. I mean, I know from my own experiences, what we're taking out of them is the essence of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience is putting the essence back.
Absolutely.
That's the life force that can't be denied. And this is what is the divine feminine rising, that we will no longer be a bipolar, actually, system. We're triad.
Mm-hmm.
We're the masculine, we're the feminine, and combined, there is now a new energy, which is the divine child, which is the alchemy of both.
Right.
And that's actually happening to us adults, you know, thank the heavens and the earth, because they appear to be already wired for it, which is, you know, I understand what it's like to be kind of awakened in an unawakened world. That is just, it is not easy to be multidimensional living two dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat, it's boring, and you understand why the kids are doing the drugs or shocks half the parents are putting the kids on drugs just to tame their, what they call their unruliness, which is really just their desire to be experiential, to be who they are, multidimensional.
Well, I'm finding in working with the students now that many of the ADD are actually geniuses in disguise.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree.
They are so highly intelligent.
Absolutely.
And they're multitaskers. They're geniuses in multitasking.
Yeah.
And to
squelch that. Yeah.
That from happening. It's a shame when you see these kids. And
well, why? Why would we do that to a planet that is clearly, we need creative thinking, critical and creative thinking. We're dying.
Mm-hmm.
We're dying from this two-dimensional world that wants only profit, that wants only, you know what I'm saying? These programs that have been set in place. And I just want to say one thing because, you know, I realize I normally do my shows on Thursday nights, and this is, you know, a special edition in the afternoon. I also have a firm belief that there is a whole paradigm. This is not humans doing this.
Mm-hmm.
These are beings that are more intelligent than us, literally overlaying their way of non-emotional, critical or clinical thinking onto us. And this is deep down the rabbit hole. We're not going to go that deep today. But so, in other words, this is, you know, when people say, "Oh, that humans have been about warring forever," no, humans have not. An overlay of another type of being, which we are awakening to now.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are They are here to help us awaken.
Absolutely.
Sit down at their level and ask them, you know, including the infants and the toddlers, what have you come here to share with us?
They're so in touch with their divine self.
Touch.
It's amazing.
So much frequency and, you know, it's not just about the divine love. It's the wisdom, like you're saying, they don't take classes. And they come on computers and go, oh, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Programs. Smart boards are such a gift to the classrooms because it's, again, they can move with, they're using the smart board as a computer through it. And they're moving as they're doing their work, which is really cool. And
I see. In other words, as opposed to sitting in a desk and being told to sit still for 8 hours.
And being able to play as they learn is just amazing.
Yeah.
The teacher that wrote the book with me has made a whole smart board presentation with everything that we put in the book.
Nice.
So all the new teachers have to do basically is bring the smart board program forward. It's all there.
Nice.
So it's made really, really easy.
Have you guys connected with Microsoft? Because they're big philanthropists. Who's the guy who runs Microsoft? The big guy, or used to run. He's not there anymore. Bill Gates. Bill Gates is very much about education and the smart board. You know what I'm? Mm-hmm. That just hit me. Listen, however that's supposed
to. Well, it's so fun because she put all little cutesy things that makes cute little sounds and lots of colors and making it fun.
Yeah, for children.
Yeah.
But meaning he's very into. I think he went around to like 100 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And just started putting in computers, a lot of philanthropy towards children in education.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, gosh, if you had, you know, Mr. Gates behind you, certainly not a bad place to be in. And you know, it's just a divine thing. So set that intention that could be, you know.
Outstanding. I would love to see children enjoy
everywhere.
Learning.
Did you see the movie Freedom Riders?
No.
It's a great movie about another thing, just taking inner children and understanding that, you know, the hardships that they're in the inner cities, that they're in war. They're in war zones and acknowledging that and showing a way of teaching, which is very similar to what you're saying in that, let's get them active. You can't teach them just read from a book. It's too flat.
Flat. Well, many children learn from movement, so.
Well, I think everything, I can't sit for 8 hours without being fidgety. I mean, I totally understand that, and I don't know how I did it. To be honest, the first class I ever skipped in school was first grade.
Wow.
And, you know, people were like, why did you do it? And I was bored. They were just teaching things I already knew, and I was done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a genius, but I'm an older indigo, and I know what it's like to just, you know, this. Basically, by high school, I was dropping out.
Kids shut down.
Totally.
They're bored and they don't think it's important for them to learn that stuff.
Exactly. And the whole authority thing of you got to do it this way, and was like, you know, they didn't tap into my creative genius. In fact, the whole process growing up told me I was not creative musically or artistically, and I didn't realize that until I went back to college. And when these things were to come to me, you know, these projects for the early childhood, you know, I was like, I don't know how to draw. You know, and these people in the class who are basically in their 18s and 20s, because most people go to college. I was 30 when I went to college. Are like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I don't know how to draw because I owned what they said. They told me I wasn't creative, therefore I owned it.
Right.
You know, so I see it happen with kids. Now, shucks, I mean,
the kids aren't allowing that to happen
anymore. I know.
They're moving forward into their gifts.
Consciousness
is
not allowing that.
Right.
The work we have done through a conscious level has opened up their experience that they now have a voice with some oomph behind it.
And energetically, kids are a little bit different.
A lot different.
I know my son very early on learned how to put a bubble, energetic bubble around him.
Oh, wow.
So other people basically couldn't get through to him.
Oh, what? Like a 12-dimensional seal. I do a 12-dimensional seal.
So there was a teacher that wanted to yell at him to get him to do the old way where they would yell at them to scream at them. he would just put that bubble around him, and it just went impact.
He neutralized
him.
He neutralized it.
And it would drive the older teachers absolutely nuts.
No, right on, because they weren't affecting him.
Because they weren't impacting him. He would just stand there.
I love the indigo.
In his bubble.
Yeah.
So
nice.
They're a little bit different than what they used to be. And even talking to some teachers, they're like, these kids just aren't the same.
Right.
No, they're not.
Right. So let's stop drugging them to make the curriculum fit, and let's start shifting the curriculum to fit the new human being on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. They are. The next generation that's going to save the planet with or without the teachers. I mean, with or without the educational system.
And I think this year is a huge shift with some of the things that just have happened recently, especially in the state of Wisconsin. Many
the
of the teachers
point,
are
yeah.
retiring.
Yeah, well,
which
exactly.
brings in new ones.
Which brings in new blood,
right.
new
right.
So younger people that might even be indigos. And
mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
indeed. Listen, thank you so much. We're out of time because I want Wendy to come on. But listen, you're coming back on. All right? We're going to talk. So, I love you, Diane. Your energy,
you too,
is beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that was my first Magnificent Woman of Wisconsin, and now just so you guys know, my beautiful guest here, I asked him to send me bios, neither one of them did. I asked him to send me pictures, but we're going to get them up, I want you guys, because we can still archive this. But, so with that, right now I want to introduce Wendy Willikit, who's, here's my connection with Wendy. This beautiful soul shows up to the first radio show I do at Dawn's House. I don't know her, she doesn't know me, and she opens up and expressed herself through transparency, meaning you showed vulnerability, you showed a kindness and just a truth that I instantly recognized as, you know, this is somebody I want to emphasize, I want to highlight, because this is the new talent that we all have our talents, but behind it has to be the architecture of these of our new frequencies. These are what the children are breaking through, you know, the adults and or young people, because I don't think you're as old as me, you know, so
I'm older.
You're older than me? Are you kidding me?
46.
Oh, I'm 46 too, and I'm getting a ring. Griffin, I'm telling you, I thought you were in your like early 30s. I thought you were like 32.
Because I act like I'm 20.
Well, you know, okay, so you got me by 10 years. I mean, I'm only about 12. Well, and so when I met you, you know, it was like it's no longer about, I don't look for the letters after people's names, and not that you can't have the letters, like, you know, Diane probably has letters, but that's not what shows up to me as who I want to highlight as a magnificent professional in Wisconsin. A magnificent professional is a well-balanced, you know, well-oiled being that kind of has their hand in spiritual, mental, emotional, and it's not about you have to be at mastery, just the desire to be at mastery. So because I'm not quite sure, I know you do personal consulting, financial.
Yeah. So it's funny that you said that, because I do have all the credentials behind me. I have 2 degrees. I have a Series 6, 63, a life insurance, a health insurance, registered investment advisory license. So
I didn't know that.
I take that for granted, though, because that's not really, it's just the way I get paid.
No, it's what the system requires
right.
you to do. And I believe the system is somewhat changing, at least from what we were talking, from the children up. You know what I mean? We're getting to the point where it shouldn't be because of the letters after your name, you know, if you're a dick in life. You
right.
know what I mean? And it should be that. Because what you're doing is, if you're helping someone with their finances, you know, it's really about understanding what we were talking about the first time we met, open architecture.
Yep.
Serving everyone, not just serving the millionaires. You know, doesn't the little guy, and I'm not saying don't serve the millionaires, but there is a shift in the finances and the have and the have-nots from a program point of view. And that shifting is coming from the people that are working these programs,
yep.
that are starting to really understand the idea that everyone deserves some support in their in their profiling of their benefits and saving, and not just to get them, you know, plugged into the mortgage companies,
right,
but to genuinely serve, that they feel served, you know, that they have a sense of worthiness. Because from my perspective, I live in a very wealthy community. It's essentially the Beverly Hills of the East Coast. And I see a lot of it, being as a nanny, I see a lot of, you know, the people who, you know, Mexicans that might not speak English, being treated horrendously, whether they're doing the yard work or they're doing they're cleaning houses, you know, because they don't themselves feel empowered.
Right.
Because our culture is literally just ignoring them. You know, if they're not citizens, or, I mean, if you're not a citizen, who gives a shit? You guys are raising our children. I mean, I know from my own experience, I have had people treat me like a second-class citizen because I'm raising your children, and just because of who I am, you know, those jobs don't last long.
Right.
Because Goldie tends to say, you know, you're going to treat the person who you have a boat slip with better than me? I got your kid.
Right.
They got your boat. I got your kid. So, okay. Calm down.
You're talking my language, that's for sure.
So,
really are. And it's an industry. I've been in the industry 16 years, and
okay,
I work for a broker-dealer and an investment advisory firm, but I'm an independent contractor, so that's what...
So you can make your own rules?
I can make my own rules,
okay,
but I have to follow rules, too.
Indeed. It's a balance.
So a little bit about myself. When I got out of college... or out of high school, I should start there. I wanted to be a court reporter because it was a two-year degree.
Okay.
And it was good money, and I knew I had to keep going to college. I was high honors in school and everything.
All three of us here have that in common.
Taught by my parents, you know, go to college, get a job, and have three, and be a teacher, because you can have your kids be home with the kids in the summer, and you and your husband, you know, will have a good income. Well, I hit 30 years old. Had my two degrees. I was working at a manufacturing corporation here, sitting in a cubicle, pretty much running the department, making $18,000 a year. Didn't have
that kids. Doesn't balance, right?
Right.
You know, responsibility is high, pay is low. That's
right.
Another thing about the women. I mean, because I just want to interrupt for one second.
Yeah.
When you said, you know, be a teacher, do you remember when it used to be women's jobs were nursing or teaching,
yep,
or secretaries?
Yes.
We were not considered CEOs. We were not considered doctors. We were the specific women, female jobs, teaching,
mm-hmm,
nursing, and secretary.
And I was a secretary at this company.
Okay.
So I didn't want to do the teaching. I tried that, and that scared me. So I pretty much built up a name for myself at the corporation, did everything I was supposed to do, and because I was a secretary, you're paid as a secretary. They don't care what you look like, what you do. It's a position, it's a title,
okay,
and the title equals X. And there was one position that I could have gotten, an executive secretary at the firm, and the girl was younger than me. She wasn't going anywhere.
Okay.
She was the president's Mr. I can't say his name, but she
don't
was a professional
don't
secretary.
Don't get in trouble. You can tell me if you want.
Yeah.
I'll say his name. I don't want you to get in trouble.
So luckily, at this point, I met Jeff Hot Chocolate.
Okay.
Him and I were... Actually, no. At this point, I had not met him yet. I met him through the company I work for.
Okay.
Somebody told me, you know, if you want to make six... I always wanted to make six figures. I bartended part-time because I love tips, because you get paid what you're worth.
Nice.
That was one of the things that I thought, wow, I can make a lot more money doing that than this.
Okay.
Because people like me. So a friend of mine told me to take a look at getting into sales somehow. And it just so happened to be the financial industry was the first person I really sat down and interviewed to start looking at, and I was horrible with money.
Okay.
I, you know, claimed bankruptcy in college. I maxed out all my credit cards. I didn't have a nickel saved. Nobody taught me that in school.
Right. That's what we were taught. Exactly.
Nobody taught me that, and of course, my belief was a man's going to take care of me.
Now, right on. Ooh, I'm getting chilled, because that's the other thing that, right, women shouldn't handle the money.
Right.
Men should. Women should handle the children,
mm-hmm,
not the money.
So I just figured those credit cards would be paid by this Prince Charming that was going to come in my life. And,
okay. You
know, I ended up paying for all my boyfriends I dated, you know, everything. Uh-huh. So that... Just
how funny is that, right? Where was their mother's teaching them?
So plan C failed, too. But now I'm at ground zero with all these degrees, you know, and really could do whatever I wanted to. And I ran into this company, and it luckily for me, I didn't get into the financial industry working for someone else because it's real hard to get. You get a salary to start out at some of these firms. You know, that's how they get you in the door, but then they own you for life, and they own all your clients.
Oh.
So my firm is an independent contractor, and I market for multiple companies. I'm not captive to any one company.
Okay.
But while doing this, I was really naive on how to run a business.
Okay.
There's a formatted system that I could plug into, and I did have some great mentors that got me to where I am today. Worked with people like Jeff, took tons of self-development classes in the last 16 years. I've made progress, but what I recently learned was that if I wouldn't have even done that, I would probably be bad news, especially with the men that I ran with. I mean, I'd be...
Well, we're all encompassed. We're not just our careers.
Yes.
We're our lives, and we're our spirits, and we're our emotions. And I think that's what this whole... We're becoming aware of our wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're good at just your job, more than likely, prior to, I would say in the last 2 years, then I bet your family life was falling apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to learn how to balance it all because we are all of it.
Right.
We want all of it. And the divine feminine is what's coming in to help with that balance.
Right.
It really is,
right.
Indeed. And it supports self-help. It supports self-loving ourselves. Because you start making choices that are based in balance, not just in... Not out of fear am I being accepted. Oh, I have to do this, otherwise, I'm gonna get the crappy. I'm not quite sure how your business works. If somebody starts passing out potential networks and connections, and if you're not at the top of the line, they're passing you
bad leads,
the bad or the weak leads.
Exactly what you mean. Right.
Right. Where I think on some level, there was a woman, I don't know her name, but she wrote an e-book. And was selling it for $10. And she sold like 10 million copies.
Wow.
And this was a woman, single mother. I don't even know what the book was about because I was talking to Jeff going, he was changing his thing to an e-book.
Okay.
And I go, did you hear about the woman that sold 10 million? He goes, yeah, what do you think I'm doing this for? It can be done. And I just was like, $10 a book, you wouldn't think that someone's going to become a multimillionaire from a $10 book. That is what we have to change the way we think. It's no longer going about necessarily just the wealthy customers. Screw the little guy. Because truth be told, we're all becoming the little guy. We must be the caretakers of each other. And then when you look at it from a number point of view, there are so many little guys.
Yes. So that's my market is the little guy, and that's why I'm not the six-figure earner yet because I'm helping the little guy.
Well, and so how's your heart feel on that?
But I feel good, and now I'm getting goosebumps again because when I started working with Dawn a year ago, my whole business has changed. But all along the way, I kept saying, when is it going to be my turn for making just a little bit of money for helping somebody get out of debt? But those little guys are now becoming big guys because I put the plans in place.
Oh! Top goes to the bottom, and the bottom goes to the top.
Right, and there are people that overlooked. That's why I was running behind. I had a couple that nobody would have talked to.
Right.
They had $13,000 in debt. Well, she just inherited $700,000. So who do you think she's going to come to now to do her?
My father always says, you help somebody at the bottom, they never forget it. And actually, the way he said it is, if someone ever helps you when you're at the bottom, that's who you always keep in mind.
Loyal to.
Right. Because when you're at the top, everybody wants to be your friend. Who's with you at the bottom? That's who you never want to forget.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember my mentors who got me to where I am, too. And that's why I always will credit Jeff. I'll always credit Dawn, because they're a big part of some of the changes in my life. So
namaste.
So it's taking this. No, it's not exciting, a business. I mean, money's okay, but all I wanted to do was make more money. I didn't have any money to invest. I love what you were saying about the school systems. We actually go in there and do education on money and finance for kids.
Oh,
it's something
nice.
Called Make a Difference.
We actually have people come in from the finance.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Give her a mic.
Yeah. We actually, through the program, through the book that we wrote, we have finance people come in to teach the children. We have bankers come in.
I'm getting
in.
Chills.
We have them fill out the paperwork they would at a bank as if they were adults because they learn all those things.
By actually doing
how
it.
To become a millionaire by starting little and building into that.
Right.
So all those things are really important to teach them at a younger age.
so that way when they get to be an adult, they already know all that stuff.
Well, and the important part, too, is, I mean, especially in your business, how many times have you seen, I mean, like, I have seen, what's the word, communities of people, lower incoming, I have lived with lower income people, some of the best years of my life. They don't even know it's a choice for them.
Right.
To have a portfolio or these are people that are on welfare, the whole family.
I had $100 a month to save when I met this company, and I thought I needed all this money to go talk to somebody, and they would laugh at me. And one of the reasons I got in my company, I don't know if you know this, Joe, is Dina Fliss had an understanding money seminar, and it was free. And
right.
I took it and shoved it in my purse, and I'm like, I can get some information on how to save this $100 a month.
Right, into the best
from this lady's seminar.
Right.
And I didn't even know there were products out there you could save $100 a month into. But
right.
That was
it's,
important, and
yeah.
Starting early is important. And if somebody would have showed me, take your babysitting money, $25 a month, it would now be worth, $100,000.
Right. Well, and, it's so important because it's information being available to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That not everybody might choose it, but it's got to be available. You know, it's like we need to start looking at people as people, not as numbers.
Yep.
You know, so, and I know you're dealing with insurance and that. I mean, boy, you want to talk about people being numbers. Remember the show, the movie Aaron Brockovich, whatever?
Right.
You know, that's when I really started seeing, like, well, people are just numbers. They don't care that they're dying from the water. And this is old paradigms, and I'm not saying it's, it's like...
No, but I'm Aaron Brockovich. That's what I feel like every day. When I watch that movie, I feel like that's me in their living rooms fighting for them to see if they can retire.
Yeah.
Can they send their kids to college, telling them what they need to do, and everybody else just overlooking these people. And
yeah.
They have names. They have grandkids.
They're human
beings. They have
dogs.
They have...
families and
I
lives.
Know about all that, and when they're really impressed when you remember that, because the average person says, "How much money do you have?"
And that's all. And what kind of car do you drive?
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, that's the dating pool. That's a dating scene in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Well, how much do you? The first thing you ask somebody, they want to know, "Where's your income? What's your income level?" Like,
wow.
I mean, it's so shallow. I'm telling you, the stork hiccuped and dropped me in Connecticut. I was en route to Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
And I ended up in this incredibly dense town. No, I'm an energy holder. I'm a grid worker. I get it. And as soon as 2012, if that is, the time when, we're going to, realign the divine feminine. And who knows? The shift could be profound that Connecticut is where I stay. But I'm coming here. I mean, I'm coming here. So,
okay.
And here's the thing. When I come here, I mean, it will probably be on my father's inheritance. I mean, he's going to leave us money. I don't have a clue. Guess who I'm going to call?
Woo-hoo!
Absolutely my girl.
Who wouldn't want me as their financial advisor?
Listen,
I
the audience can't see this, but I've got two amazing women, and both of you look like you're in your 30s. And I'm being dead honest. I mean, like, you guys are, there's a beauty and a radiance about being from the soul. You can't buy that. You can't, because it's an integrity that I trust beyond the words. I mean, I have dealt with enough people where I shook their hands and they're like, "Nice to meet you," and then I've turned around and they took back and they stabbed me, and it didn't kill me. I mean, or you die a thousand deaths, but I'm starting to learn it's not about how much money you make. I mean, more than likely, people who have made a lot of money have stabbed a lot of people.
Yes.
Because the system has promoted it to be. Watch the movie Wall Street.
Yep.
This is all about kill the little guy for the, or even Pretty Woman. You know that he was first about tearing companies apart so he could become a millionaire. It's like, mm-hmm. The planet and the frequency on the planet right now, it is completely not supporting that. I mean, literally, for the last few years, we have been reorganizing. Through the conscious work that we do, besides the physical work that we're doing as quote-unquote our careers, bringing this alignment, the grid is coming back online where this is going to be an enlightened planet.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there are other planets in the galaxy that would never even consider harming another,
mm-hmm.
and consider that I'm successful, screw him. That is such a...
It should be win-win.
And then a third win.
Win, win, win.
Right, because the planet is also part of this. So it's us, each other, as well as the planet. And the planet, meaning the animals, the trees, you know,
yeah.
nature. And it is coming online. And the people that will be supported, because we'll find that it's not the million. We don't need millions, but our experiences will expand exponentially. You get to shine your light with people having gratitude and appreciation, and you help the little guy. Now they are the people coming up into their own, and whether they come to you or not, who can, you did it. It's like, I mean,
that makes me feel good. This is the first time people are, because it's the baby boomers. I've heard this. They're going to be retiring when they turn 60. Well, that happened this year.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
getting calls, and in that people are passing away. And so all these things I said.
There's a lot of reorganizing
yeah.
of generations. And you're absolutely right. The baby boomers have been basically the ones in control. I mean, all you have to do is look at Congress.
Yeah.
Of course, of course. And Congress looks like they're. If you look at Congress, they look like they're full of debt. I mean, these really old people. Revamped.
Mm-hmm. Please. Just as a baby boomer, because I'm 50 plus. I'm over 50.
I'm telling you, you guys got to send me pictures and make them for recent so my audience knows. I thought you were 32. I'm thinking you 40.
Hey, I'm staying at 33. Pick your favorite or your best years and stay there,
right.
And truly, when you reach 50, count that as a new beginning, especially for these baby boomers that are over 50 and they're going, oh, I'm getting old. No, don't consider
that. Don't buy into that paradigm, because, first of all, you're becoming wise. You know, I know the whole thing, you know, like with menopause, and for the woman, they're like, oh, you know, it's going to be hot flashes. It's like,
mm-mm.
We don't even realize that is about the sage.
You don't have
the,
to
becoming the
that.
Counsel, the counsel for, I mean, there's such a, you know, branch out, talk amongst, you know, people that are aware of energy and eternity. Listen, I was telling somebody at the Aztalan yesterday, I was like, you know, I hear people say they're 40 and they're old. I'm 40 billion. You know, once you start understanding galactic, I mean, I'm starting to get into my galactic heritage. Old is a concept you do not have to buy into.
You don't.
Wisdom.
You don't have to feel
experience.
Old and say you're old.
Right.
And I'm just starting anew. I mean, I'm becoming a quantum doctor. And
nice.
At 50-plus years old, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
It's something new. It's something
fresh.
Well,
and that's learning. And that's because you're going right back to the same principle as you did when you were in kindergarten. And it does bring the energy
that
comes in.
The newness.
Absolutely.
And your body will reflect that.
Your whole
if
life
you
will
think
reflect
you're old,
that.
You become old.
Yeah, truly.
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 Think of it as a new beginning, a fresh start.
Yeah.
You've got 50-plus more years.
Easily.
You don't have to
easily.
Regenerate.
Because,
easily.
Right, because I'm hearing that we're going to very quickly live to $125 to $175.
And it's possible.
Medicine is going to also embody this triad energy where we will rejuvenate. And in that rejuvenation, that means, you know, because everybody's like 46, I haven't had a child yet. I want to have a child.
And as a stress management specialist, a biofeedback specialist, a Reiki master, and the many things
we're
I
going
am.
To, I'm going to give you a show. I'm going
it's
to. We're
just,
going to talk
it's
about
so
that.
It's so possible. So
no,
it,
it's
hang
it's available.
In there, you baby boomer.
No, well, and but it is the truth, because, you know, I've been told you're too old to have a kid, and I'm like, only if you live to 70. That's not my goal.
So we should have a child together, because
sure.
I want to have one too.
Do you want to? Well, do you, it'd be meaning it. Yes.
Then,
we should know it's possible. You should never say. Have you ever said to yourself, "I'm too old to have a kid"?
I started recently to think that I'm not going to, but I want to yet.
You, do you want? If you want to, never. Well, and
I
want to
have the
problem.
Right man with me though when I do.
See,
it.
Now that's me as well, and I don't.
But is that ever going to happen? That's what
I
have to realize.
Yeah, we're on that boat together. I mean, and we have amazing men in our life.
We have
Joes and you know, Joes and Jeffs and many men. I have many men in my life that I love and adore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to believe that there's a divine timing and order to everything. You know, it's like you know, Diane knew when it was time to leave the company. I just had a session. In fact, next week I have a guest coming on, Alan Pratt, who I'm going to try and guide to come through the Wisconsin area. He's a shaman. He's wildly, he's opening some gates in us, in the people he works on. And I just, you know, I'm starting to open the gate energetically that I'm ready to have a child. I've been talking it, but my body has been closed down since
right.
my 30s because sex, drugs, and rock and roll and, you know, an abortion here and there. And I was like, okay, enough, stop getting pregnant. And by doing that, my body listened. And so, you know, we're really commanding our spaces now and commanding who we are and telling the world. And that's part of, I think, what's an interesting thing about power, not being afraid to command our space. And because, you know, we have this thing, well, will I hurt somebody? Or if
mm-hmm.
I get too powerful, I could turn into what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest with you, we gotta really drop that fear of being our power, because we are triads. We are not. They were two field energies, masculine and feminine. It's on the planet now. It is here, and it's now, and it's already coming into our field of awareness, this triple energy. And if you think about it, it's a triad. It's whole and complete, the energy coming in. And the way to activate it is to be whole and complete. So it's our days of cowering from our own power and light are not serving anyone. It's not serving the children who are clearly empowering this energy, and it's not serving the adults that want to. They're ready for the change,
yep.
which is most of the planet, because most of the planet doesn't have what the 5% haves have, you know, the have and the have not. Most of the planet is so ripe for change. And us being in this country, this is the Atlanteans. We are the Atlanteans. What America does, the rest of the world will follow. So on some level, we have chosen that responsibility just because we were born in a country that is not, you know, at a huge poverty level. I mean, we're going through some changes, yes, but,
yeah.
you know, India and Africa have huge, you know, the kids live to 2 on average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't quite have those kind of numbers.
Everything happening right now is happening for that reason, to just kind of level everything out, because people
balance.
Are so far
off balance.
Right, and they didn't
the
know why
planet.
They were doing things and
right.
walking around. Even, I mean, I see it every day. They just go to their job, just like you were doing, you know, the reason I got out of my career, because I saw at 30, I do not want to be 50, you know, going into this cubicle every day just so I can get a pension.
Right, right.
So as a woman in the financial industry.
Talk to me.
It's kind of like I'm up an uphill battle every day. Number one, you know, I was supposed to be married with kids and a teacher.
Well, of course,
I'm
right.
still single, don't have any kids.
Welcome to my world, Dad.
And in a man's world. But
but you're in the, indeed.
What we find out is the old gray-haired man that keeps getting all my millionaires that I want to sit down with.
Okay.
Because that's what they see as someone who is more capable to handle it.
Right.
What we really are finding out is that the women control the checkbook in the country now.
You know what? My father, when my mom passed, met a woman, and she is she runs a I hate when I don't have words a corporation that charity corporation. She makes like $900,000 a year.
Wow.
So they're doing. I mean, my father goes, I had to buy a tuxedo because there's many black tie events. He's never done it. My mom was a nursery school teacher. This was not my family growing up. But one of the things he recently said to me, which is right on, he goes, what I am finding when I am sitting in these tables at these charity ball things, whatever, when they, I guess, are raising money, fundraisers, it is the women who are in power. Now, my father has nothing. We're Jewish, and the Jewish religion, it don't matter boy or girl. You're going to college, you're going to make it. It's very,
yeah.
you know, it's not segregated. Italians in the old ways used to be like, the women don't go to get educated, the men do. Jews aren't like that. They're like, you're going to college, you're going to be independent, you're going to take care of yourself, don't hand me no crap. And so but he has literally come home on several occasions telling me stories about powerful women running corporations. And how impressed he is, because he goes, it's not the old boys' school anymore. It is
well,
the
that's
women.
Good that he noticed that, because I still feel like we're in the boys' school. The executives in our independent contractor company are all men, maybe one or two women. And what I've
you
seen,
might need to come to the East Coast.
I mean, East Coast has a lot of. There's a woman in the East Coast that's done very well. You're right.
That means
just.
And,
right.
And not saying you should leave Wisconsin, but. Right, because that's where she lives in Jersey, so that's where he's doing these fundraisers.
Okay.
Or it's actually Jersey, Boston,
we have a lot of,
Philly.
I have a lot of friends in Jersey.
Oh, there you go. So yes. That could be, you know, we seem to be giving gifts to each other today.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I should introduce you to. Okay,
yeah.
We'll talk. Yes. I'm getting that too.
What does he look like?
No. This was for your business.
Wait, we're both.
Maybe
we're
I should introduce you to my. Right. Yeah. No. That's fine. I should introduce you to perhaps my father's girlfriend.
Sure.
Because there's, you know.
I could learn from her if nothing else.
Well,
be a good mentor to have. Somebody
see that
done
your
it.
Humility. I love you. I love you. That is so. It makes me want to cry because. You know, that is so not masculine. That's what it's about. Exactly. Let's stay humble. Let's learn. Let's commune. Let's stick together. And let's build this world back into the world.
Yes.
Not America. The world back into the heaven. We absolutely have the blueprint now to create.
That's right.
And it's going to happen in business. It's not just about the going green. I mean, that's definitely part of it. But it's about our businesses going heart. What's the heart? What's the bottom heart line? Not what's bottom profit line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that don't want to just crush the little guy to make a sale,
yep.
But would rather forget the sale and bring them all back up into something progression. You know, progressive.
And by changing that, and Dawn worked with me on that. That's how I'm making more money this year than ever.
Okay.
By not worry, you know, not looking at it as a job, and I always looked at people as clients and got to know them and help them, but it was. It was a sale.
Right.
You hate to say it, but it was a sale. But,
no,
there was
but if that's where you're coming from, be honest, because that's where we start. We start where we start.
But now it's kind of like, you know what, if it works out, it works out. You got to, of course, utilize closing to help people progress because people procrastinate. But it just seems easier. People are saying, yes, I'm getting referrals, and it's all because of little seeds that I planted. And it's not hard for me anymore. Up until last summer, it was hard. It's just hard. I always felt like I had this black cloud over me. This business
so funny.
Is hard.
I was told that. I was told that in my early days, that I had a black cloud over me.
So you carried it around with
you. Well, I owned it, and now I've got a golden aura
right.
around me.
I got light shining on
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be hard, and you'll be taken care of by resources. I'm not worried if, you know, I have a bad month because there's other things that are picking up
right.
friends and
right.
relatives, you know.
Right, listen, we have a half an hour left. Tell me more. I want to share what you do. So my listening
okay.
audience, who would come to you? What's an example of someone that would come to you or what
okay.
your services are?
Well, right now,
are?
What we're really, my main focus now is on expansion, and I think I mentioned this a couple times before. There's so many people that are overlooked out there
yes.
that need help. And we don't charge people to sit down with us, by the way. We get paid
okay.
by the companies I represent. So it's nothing out of my client's pocket.
Okay.
But we need more offices. I mean, I'm the only one in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area right
okay.
now for our company. Yes, there's other companies that are out there, but they're not doing what we're doing. So my main thing is to develop people that can go out and help people.
Okay,
in
develop
the financial
people.
Industry.
Oh, okay. So give an example how you would develop a person.
Okay, so someone would come in my office, and maybe they're from a whole different industry. We have a formatted system that can get them licensed, those licenses I was talking about.
What, the license for insurance?
Life
and
securities.
Okay.
They can start out with one license, or they can do the whole gamut like I do
okay.
and start earning at least a referral fee. If they pass on clients to me,
okay.
I sit down with them and help them maybe they lost their job and had a 401k that they need to roll over
okay.
into an IRA.
Okay.
You can either be actively involved with it and get paid on it yourself, or
okay.
you can refer it to me, and I am now able to do a split on the referral fee because they have a license.
Okay.
So it's like the degree of the industry.
Okay.
So
okay.
I have about 15 people right now that I work with in my own office that just go out and meet. So I'm talking to a warm market all the time. My mother, my father.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, that's how I find my clients is by
okay.
training these reps. Some of them don't like it. Some do. But they always know that I'll be there to take care of. If they leave, their mom is taken care of by me. So,
okay.
I mean, I'm getting a little deep into it here. But.
No, that's okay. We have the time, and it's all right, because people got to feel you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Let them feel you. So don't edit yourself.
So
in
as
the,
a...
Go as far as you want.
Okay, so as a person right now, as we know that everybody's careers are in a mess.
Chaos.
So they're, I've never seen before, more than ever, people that 30 years lost their job.
Right.
And need to make, especially people over 50. I'm not saying 50 is anything, but it seems to be
No, but it's a weird number because, right, they don't want to rehire because
yeah.
they can hire somebody younger for half. My father was telling me these same numbers, too.
Yes.
So it's a very scary time for the baby boomers. I would consider you a young baby boomer. Is that you? Right?
Yeah,
you're at the
younger
one. Right, right. Okay, so, okay.
Right, so there are huge... solid people that are out of work right now that weren't ready to retire.
Right,
so
right.
So they're looking at a whole different career change. So they're thinking about maybe the financial industry because it is one of the highest paid industries in the planet.
Okay. Okay.
They might be thinking about home health care now because
okay.
that's something that the future is doing. They know that them going back and getting a job probably isn't going to happen.
Okay. In their field, in other words.
In their field because
right.
they've eliminated so many positions.
So absolutely. Right.
It took a couple of years. This started happening in a couple of years, 2007. And people still were holding on that they might go back to find, I really want to find a job. But now they're coming to me desperate,
right.
saying, I have no choices. My unemployment's run out. I should have got those licenses a couple years ago. At least I would have had a backup plan.
Right.
So almost everybody I know needs to at least do this part-time.
Okay.
And we are one of the only firms that don't have quotas.
Okay.
You can. It's your own business. You can make and build it as you want. You can
okay.
be a personal producer. Out there just helping families, or you can build your own agency like I'm doing.
Okay.
My goal is to have 12 different offices up and running in the next 5 years.
Woo! I love it.
Yes.
Okay.
A couple in Wisconsin, and then the rest will have to come from
Maybe
wherever.
Maybe Jersey?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So that's the other benefit is I'm licensed here, but I can it's just more fees you pay to other states.
Okay.
I can do this anywhere.
Okay.
And with the internet. 9 times out of 10, I'm having a conversation on the phone, attaching a document to them. They're printing it out at their house, signing it, and sticking it in the mail. I don't even have to go face-to-face anymore, and people appreciate that.
Yeah, of
they
course,
really
because
do.
They
They're
can
busy.
Work from anywhere. Right.
But I love what you said when you started the call, and what you just said is, for some reason, people have told me that you have just got this gift inside of you that I trust you. I never
exactly.
have to worry.
Exactly.
I met this lady 5 minutes the other day. She goes, I don't care. I trust you. Here's a check.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, wait. We have to take and do some paperwork and get things, you know. There is that part of
right,
it.
Right, but acknowledging that from that is the work of, that you did with the self-help.
Okay.
You know, because what you built in you was the integrity. I don't know about you, but I used to say all the time, when will I be acknowledged for my energy and not what I look like?
Yes.
I have wanted that. That also is coming to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this triad energy is becoming the true. It's changing literally the construct of our reality is changing. And whether we know it or not, it's changing. But what we are starting to know is the tools of this reality are really integrity, compassion, trust. Transparency,
yes.
being able to live, you know, I speak all my truth on the radio. And people are like, why do you do that? And I'm like, A, because it encourages others to be transparent,
yes.
but B, because no secrets. Secrets are an energy, and I'm not saying, you know, this is just from,
no, I know.
They're an energy that just squashes manifestations. I mean, try creating, holding a secret. What you create is cancers, tumors, you know, skin issue, disease is created, and it's all based on shame.
Yeah.
And shame is a controlling factor from an old energy. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have made mistakes, indeed, but they're my mistakes. I own them. I have no regrets about them. Listen, I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm claiming to say I was a crackhead at 22, and I want people to know that. And now I'm taking care of children in multi-million-dollar homes. You know, I have a radio show I've done for 5 years. I'm not trying to toot my horn, but
you've got a lot going on. You're awesome.
Right. I'm not in the gutter where
right.
you know many people thought Goldie's going to end up dead with needles sticking out of her arms. And listen, I know that a lot of us come from that space, you mm-hmm. know, and the key is to know that you don't have to stay in that space.
Right.
Because now we have financial planners that are willing to work with us. You got $20 a month to put away? Then that's enough money that you now have someone to work with you. And there's this sense of worth to say, wow, they're working with me? You know, like, you know, I'm big enough. I don't have to be a corporation. It's so much about giving the self-help through you to your clients to build their self
mm-hmm.
self-worth and self-recognition.
That's the most important thing that you're saying there, because I think about this couple this morning, and they just, the fact that people pay, I probably would make more money like renting myself out for social events and just
right.
to go out
like
and be somebody's
speaking
friend.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, because
right.
they people seem to like that I even care.
Yeah.
And
can you imagine that? That's a commodity in our
sad,
culture.
Isn't it?
Well, sad and yet, but at this point, it's the truth. This is we're not just making
you're right,
idle
you're right.
statements. The truth is, people need to. We have been a number for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and now we are becoming human entities and angels and beings that are supporting each other in ways that the entities that have overlaid this negative on us can't stop.
Right.
We are awake. We are getting off the hamster wheel of it's all about the money, screw your neighbor, and back to truly, you know, the teachings, and I'm not a big Jesus fan in the sense of I don't preach the Jesus thing, but treating your neighbor like yourself and the golden rule. Let's take care of each other. And, you know, I don't need to make a billion. I'm happy if I make, you know, a couple of hundred thousand and you make a couple of hundred thousand. You know, I mean, just this isn't about the elites and I'm better than anybody. I'm not better than anybody. And that's what I'm clearly trying. I'm just
yeah.
somebody who has picked myself up from my bootstraps, and I want you to know that out there,
yeah.
you can pick yourself up from your bootstraps. No matter where, you can be a crackhead today, and within 10 years, we can have you with a portfolio with Wendy. And your kids can go to school with Diane and teach themselves. I mean, this is miracles, miracles.
It is.
We are not what we've been told we are. We can be anything we want to be.
We can. And did you said something, too, where people, even in my own family, like my sister won't tell my mom, don't tell mom, you know, something dumb, like she's doing.
The secrets.
Yeah. And I'm like.
So disempowering.
So I tell mom.
Of course.
And so
don't tell me. Not, when people say, you know, don't say anything, the first thing I say is then don't tell me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I got a radio.
But I'm trying to show her that why are you lying about something so in going to the store.
It's so petty.
She's gonna get mad at you, and then you know. So if you talk about your crackhead experience,
yes,
you'll find out that this person might have had it too.
Exactly.
This person, they'll start talking to you.
It becomes compassion. It
yeah.
doesn't become. I'm not getting hired from nanny gigs from this, because here's the bottom line. Look, check my references. You know, I can own my problems because it has made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a person on the planet that didn't have an affair, lose a business, do a drug, drink, have a DUI.
Right,
I don't care
yeah.
what the thing. Well, you know, when people are like, you know, she's a drug addict. Or, no, I'll give you she's a prostitute. I'll be honest with you. The women in most of these wealthy homes got there by selling their sex to their husband. It's a different type of prostitution. They're not on a corner. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So once it doesn't matter, if we're all, remember what we talked about, if we're all farting and picking our noses, then it's not good or bad if this one does it or that one does it. It's now compassion that, okay, so we all fart and pick our nose. Now what else do we do that can support each other instead of finding the things to tear each other down?
Right, right.
That triad energy will not let us tear each other down anymore. And those that do will literally... It's like they have no energy behind their creations.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being fulfilled in their creations. Compassion, support, community, transparency, the universal energies are going. And when I say it, it's like coming through us, just building, it's putting creation in front of it. It's putting clients, it's putting publishers, it's putting guests, you know,
yeah.
whatever it is,
yeah.
whatever we need, it's manifesting.
Right.
It's incredible.
But you are a great example for that, and that I hear that too, because I think we have similar stories. I mean, it sounds
probably.
Like it. We've
probably.
Ended up here for a reason, you know.
Right.
I mean, I did my share of partying, don't get me wrong, in college.
Yeah.
I somehow just snapped out of it.
Right.
But people, will thank you, I'm sure, all the time that, you know, you, I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I wish, you're so brave for being single.
Absolutely.
You probably get that all the time.
Absolutely.
And you think, my programming was, you know, that's a bad thing.
Totally.
Spinster.
Yes, yes,
I don't have
a
cat, so I can't be a spinster.
I didn't even know. I do have a cat. I guess I'm a spinster.
Well,
this whole time I'm going, what is Goldie? Is that why a cat? What is that part of the whole the thing? The,
that's a Wisconsin
the visual?
Thing. Maybe, I don't know, that you should be married and, you know, and all this.
No, that's not Wisconsin. That is part of the alien agenda, to be quite honest, because there's the program of breeding.
Yes.
They need us having kids because as long as we're if we're plugged into the matrix, every human being is a battery feeding their agenda.
Okay.
So the obvious is, well, then we will have to, being single would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
And until, of course, we made single with children, okay.
Yeah.
You know, but nonetheless, the program was still get married and it's all about owning. They own it. Because if you look at it, when you get married, you have to literally register with the government that you're married. I mean, it's like registering. You know, I'm against any. That's just me. That's the indigo in me going. I don't want to. I own, the only thing I own is a Toyota Echo. I own nothing else. And I own the rights to another reality show as a domain. That's it. And because it's not about. I'm happy renting. I'm happy giving it away. Mm-hmm. I don't need contracts. My father in 1983, our house burned down to the ground. He built the house with the builder, the architect and the builder, on a handshake. Never signed, because he taught me, your word is golden. Always make sure your word, whatever you do, if you speak it, own it. And, you know, those are the kind of things that people feel.
Yeah.
I can't even tell. As a nanny, I cleaned houses for 4 years before I nannied. People, I'd walk in on demand, would give me the keys to their house, tell me when they weren't going to be home, and the numbers to their security system. I mean, they didn't even ask me if I was bonded, because I wasn't. You know, but this is the way. We shouldn't be locking our doors,
right.
Because we have built prisons around ourselves. Mm-hmm. Where we're not talking to each other. We're on the computer only. It's really about, let's come back out of our homes. Get back into our communities. Allow each other to be who we are. Because is it going to be, you know, a little uncomfortable at first? Absolutely. We've been isolated for so long. It's like, you know, we're like in the cave, and the light is so bright. It's so bright. I mean, and I'm doing this myself. I'm coming out of like 10 years of going within to find out who I am.
Okay.
And stumbling and tripping and falling all over myself, trying to find community. You know, I came here this week to be with Dawn's community, and I had to leave early. I had a meltdown. But does that mean I'm going to give up on community? Absolutely not. There's a acclimation, you know, to anything. I mean, we get a new job. We got to acclimate to it. We got to learn it. And, you know, but to make this part of life a passionate part, because I believe everybody wants to be in community.
Mm-hmm.
And this
and
energy promotes.
I'm excited because we're all like, I feel like we're leading it.
I agree.
You know,
yes.
All this work that there's 25% of the population, I would think, that really kind of get, and it's getting more trendy.
Yes.
You know, self-development and
which
that.
Which means it's catching on. That's,
and we
that's
were
that
doing it a long
monkey.
Time ago, so this is, you know, people are like.
This is old shoe. I mean, talking about all this is old shoe. For me, the whole, because like I said, I kind of got dropped in a space where I've tried community, but in a very wealthy area, community tends to be, well, do you, you know, how much have you tithed? You know, I was in a church that it became the have and the have-nots. And I'm like, you know, I'm willing to teach here. I'm willing to share my energy, do energy work, you know, run the cleanup crew, you know.
Yeah.
That's got to have value here. And if you're only looking for, you know, the dollar, the check in the bucket, I can't help you there. And it wasn't that they valued that, but when the parties of the haves were going on, they didn't invite me.
Mm.
You know, and this, I've never involved with myself with a church. It was a unity church, and I did it because my mom died, and they were the only ones that acknowledged life after life. My father and my brother and me, we were whacked when my mom died. So they were really, there was a certain community, like it wasn't the congregation, it was a book club on Monday nights with a gentleman that his group healed me. So I tried doing the whole church thing as a community, and you know, I'm in Fairfield County. We have Lucille Ball's daughter, and we have people from Broadway, and we have soap opera stars. And I personally don't give a shit that that's who they are. What are you doing as a community to bring us all together from a conscious point of view? And they're still segregating, and as long as you're segregating, I'm not interested. And
But the stars get it, I think. It's everybody else is putting, I mean, I don't know any of them personally, but
I think... They're nice people, but they have no trouble inviting half of the congregation to a party. How could you not invite the whole congregation? Are you kidding me? I mean, are we not in this together? You know, and you've got these million-dollar homes.
You can support the party.
I mean, you got space for the party, and you... So, I mean, and I just inevitably, there were two things that were, I was shut down. I was told I couldn't teach there, which was very important to me. And then when I wasn't getting invited to certain, I mean, they would invite when they went to the beach. Everybody was invited. But, you know, at David Friedman's house, not everybody was invited. And, you know, like, I just don't support that hypocrisy. That's that lack of transparency. That, okay, so in your home, I'm not welcome, but on the beach, I can play with you? You guys can't see this on the air, but I'm flipping my middle finger up at this point because, you know, I personally don't need you to support me.
Right.
I don't need the you know, because everybody was like, oh, but you got star power. You can sell your radio show. And I went, I'm not selling my radio show. This is my passion. I am sharing who I am. Whoever wants to listen is open to listen. My truth as I experience it. You know, and David's been on the show a few times.
But you still need a manager.
Yes. Yes, I do. And we will talk about that. More, please.
Right.
Yes, Wendy has expressed herself that she potentially will be my manager. I would love to do the show and bring it places. And I mean, definitely. And it's very mobile in that a telephone connection.
Mm-hmm.
And once I'm here, we can really work it. But I'm thinking that you might even end up in Jersey first. You're going, Goldie, I got places for you to go in Jersey. So I'm totally... I love the way... See, that's just such a creative thought process, critical thinking, outside of the box, with no fear. You know what I mean? We couldn't fail
and
because...
nothing to lose. That's the way I've always looked
exactly.
at it.
Exactly. Everything to gain and
nothing
to lose.
To lose. When you come from nothing, that's the best thing.
That's exactly
so
right.
So when people talk to me about my business, too, I'm like, really? No?
Yeah.
You got nothing going.
Yeah.
You could at least try. I mean, I'm one of those type of people that I would try anything.
That's the key.
Because I got nothing to lose.
Do you know that people are afraid, so afraid of making a mistake, they don't make any move. They just stand there like a deer in the headlights. The fear of failure is such a strong, it creates complacency where they just get, well, I'm okay where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they all acknowledge miserably. Uncomfortably comfortable. That's exactly right. And that is, there's no bigger
and
shame.
And I'm not comfortable
than,
being comfortable.
Say that one more time.
I'm not comfortable being comfortable.
Being comfortable, right.
Right.
See, that's the key. We have to get used.
When I'm comfortable, I have to get out there and...
And explore and make mistakes and fall down and so what? I mean, it's not... Because I don't think anybody's ever become successful right out of the bat without having some failures.
No.
But we have to look at failures as part of the weaving of getting it created. So, like, you know, like I said, I mean, I started off my life in my 20s as a total drug addict. So that means it's now a starting point for success because that's what I did. And that's what all – failure just lets us know, A, you know, it could have been timing. It's a thousand. It's not necessarily we have failed. It's that experience didn't lead to the fruition we want. Okay, then tweak it. And, you know, there's unlimited potential to keep tweaking and tweaking it. You know, all of these inventors, everybody who's an inventor as well as investors, well, because look at the commonality of that word, inventor and investor. They know it just doesn't happen right off the bat. You got to keep tweaking and keep trying, persevere. Look at the bald eagle. The bald eagle was near extinction, which I personally believe is not just the animal of America, but of humanity, that we are taking ourselves to the brink of extinction to then have a triumphant comeback because we didn't give up.
Yes.
If you give up, this alien agenda that I speak of wins. And they're more than happy, you know, because what I'm learning, it's not just about praying and surrendering only. Surrender is a part of this game, but you must have the courage to try. because in that courage, you will have the experiences. Little ones,
yes.
Little ones lead to big ones. It doesn't happen. You don't get the win, but not everybody wins the lottery. Some people win the lottery of a human being coming into their experience that says, listen, I'm going to give you a number. $20 a month in 5 months is, or in 5 years is $100,000 or whatever the numbers are. That's a lottery in and of itself. And, you know,
the knowledge.
Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Shared knowledge. Knowledge that's shared to support the everyone. $20 or $20,000.
It's the same thing. That's a good point. It's the same concept if you're saving $20 or $2,000 a month.
Yes.
It's. I have clients that make under $20,000 a year that have more saved than the people
yeah.
that have, you know.
There's a ton of people that are in debt that are millionaires.
It's all money.
It's all money.
Excuse me.
I make $14,000 a year. I'm out of a job right now. And right now I've got $3,000 in the bank. Well, probably a little less because this whole trip has cost me. But because I don't spend money.
Right.
I mean, I do, but what
That's
do?
A great
I go
story.
To the woods. And my brother, who makes $80,000 a year in sales at this high-end, he works at high-end faucets, where they're like $8,000, and these people who are remodeling their faucets and bathrooms every 2 years, is constantly in debt, constantly coming to my... Because it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend, and then it's really just about how do you define yourself? I don't need name brands. I need clothes on my back, absolutely, but... You know, I don't spend a lot of money. I don't feel good by going to a mall and buying a new pair of earrings. I feel good by going to the woods and having the dew fly all over me or stepping into a creek with a good friend. You know what I mean? Just, and it's real. These are really healing and making me feel better.
That's what financial planning is right there. It's working on your mindset and,
right.
You know, realizing mine, for me it was I was using credit cards and, then it was food
or whatever.
Well, the culture
promotes all of that.
Yep.
That's why it's got
to
come
feel
from
good.
It. Yes.
And so when I realized it wasn't just that I was in debt, it was like, you got to change your mind. You got to work on yourself.
Right.
You got to start playing little money games with yourself. Like, the first thing I started to do was take 10% of every one of my commission checks and putting it in the bank.
See, now that's tithing to yourself.
Right,
right on. Not to the church that's not going to invite you to the party at the house.
And then you get to the point where, you know, and I never had savings. You get to the point where... You had to touch it, and then you get
right.
like, no, that's my 10% I saved.
Oh,
so,
that's beautiful. That's you taking care of you.
Yeah. So you get, it's just everybody's like,
see, and to be honest, Wendy, because
like.
You live it, you can preach it.
Right.
And teach it. You can teach it because you live it, because nothing worse than a hypocrite in any venue. You live
it's
it.
The first
you,
thing they ask me
of
is,
course.
So do you have one of these, or do you? What do you do?
People want to, exactly, because you can. That's the experiential energy that you're now allowing them to. From a cellular point of view, you're radiating the experience of. I feel great about myself. I'm taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Right.
Indeed.
Right. No, it was that's. So when you say financial planning, and what do I do when I have all these licenses? It's really about
you're beyond
people.
That. Well, exactly.
It's the most holistic approach to financial planning that is out there, and that's what
love
that's what I'm all about. You know, I have a company that payrolls me, and I have they do the negotiating of things and that. But really, people again are buying me. In fact, today I have to figure out a name for an LLC. So
oh, let's work on that
ideas.
If you want. Let's play with that.
Right. So
nice.
And I don't want it to be Wendy's Financials or, you know, I need it to be catchy and something that I stand
passionate
for.
And from your heart. And
right.
Yeah, something that'll fly. I actually got the another reality show, Driving in Traffic, on the Long Island Expressway. I was playing with all sorts, because it's a big thing to have to name your company.
Yes.
And then it just dropped in because I wanted to be affiliated with reality shows because I knew they were on the rise. I've been doing this for 5 years. But I didn't want it to... But I was like, yeah, reality shows are all about the negative. You know, they're always conceptualizing the negative. And I was like, well, my show would be different reality. Oh, another reality show. And that's why, because some people, when they're guests, they'll put it on their websites as another reality. I'm like, show. You got to put show in. That's part of my name because this is a show. You know, I want to enhance... Not just the good, but the real, the concept of who we really are. Because I'm dark and light, you know. We're bringing up that I'm a crackhead. I have no shame about that whatsoever. I own it. Am I going to do that again? No. But does that take away from that's who I was? No, that is who I was. You know, so I don't want it all light, because some things are all light in the mm-hmm. light workers' world. I get a little, you know, ad nauseum with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, we have 1 minute remaining. I want, can you share how can they contact you? And I highly recommend phone numbers, because it's it's the easiest way for someone to contact you.
Sure.
But it's up to you.
My phone number is 414-940-0250.
They don't hear that. Only we hear that.
And my email is Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y-W-I-L-L-Y-5, WendyWilly5, at yahoo.com.
Okay, and your company name? Oh, well, you're figuring
we're
that out.
We're designing the
okay.
company name, but the broker-dealer I work with is Investment Advisors International and World Group Securities.
Okay.
That's who I do my products.
All right, ladies, I love you. You're powerful. You're self-empowering. We must do this again. I mean, this was a really good triangle, too. Joe, thank you for holding space and creating all this wonderful lineup. And even if I'm not in Wisconsin, this is good. We're going to keep in touch with everybody here, because what you're passionate about, I am passionate about as well. So I love you. Namaste. And everybody have an amazing day. It was sunny. The storms had passed in Wisconsin. I don't know if they're coming back, but Wisconsin, I love you so much. What an incredible journey you are supplying me with, truly. It's amazing. Thank you. And next week is Alan Pratt, and he will be talking about the Pleiadian healing work, and it's powerful stuff. So everybody have it. Oh, and tomorrow, this is a special show, right? This isn't Thursday night. Tomorrow will be a pre-tape show. Tune in. It's going to be amazing. I'm not going to tell you guys what it's about, but tune in. All right. We love you. Bye.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.